Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Breaking news for the sports world. Head coach Pete Carroll, Super Bowl champion, is out as the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. Quite literally a shocking move. Pete Carroll literally said on Monday when he talked to the team, he did not know this was happening. Sports shows are made for moments like this one. Pete Carroll talking right now. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
Well, I competed pretty hard to be the coach. Just so you know, because I just wanted to make sure that I stood up for all of our coaches and the players and the things that we had accomplished. And not so that we could be the coach still, but so that we could continue to have a chance to be successful and keep the organization going. That's what I was fighting for. So I in that regard, that was what I was representing in our discussions. And we got to a good part, good clean spot where it made sense, and I went along with their intentions.
I will be honest, I hate that Pete Carroll had to go for the Seattle Seahawks. I hate it. Pete Carroll recruited me to USC, known him as a football coach for a long time. Hate that he had to go from the Seattle Seahawks, but they made the right move. At this junction in time, what is Pete Carroll known for? He's known for playing really good defense and running the football. He said it during his press conference that is our edge. He literally said, we lost our edge. The reporter asked him, well, Pete, why'd you lose our edge? Why'd you lose your edge? He said, I won't share that right now. It doesn't matter why. All that matters is that he lost it. I'm also thinking about the current game of football. Unless you coach a Hall of Fame, all-time great quarterback, the coaches in the Super Bowls and the coaches winning the Super Bowls, they're young minds. Bruce Arians, Andy Reid, Bill Belichick, they're the older coaches that have won as of late. But they coach Tom Brady and they coach Patrick Mahomes. The other coaches, Sean McVay, 30s. Kyle Shanahan, 40s. Nick Sirianni. You got other guys. Doug Peterson had just turned 50. Zach Taylor, 30s, 40s. All of the other coaching minds are young and up and coming. So unless Pete Carroll planned on coaching Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, it's the young minds that are currently winning. So I hate that Pete Carroll had to go. But James Jones, if I'm being honest, I do believe the Seattle Seahawks, they definitely made the right move in an era of younger coaches that are currently new and innovative. It was the right move.
Yeah, I don't think it was. Before Pete Carroll had got there, they was 9-23, right? We've seen Pete Carroll turn around USC. He recruited you, trying to turn it around a little bit more. You said no, he recruited you. You said no. But when you look at Pete Carroll, I kind of put Pete Carroll in Tomlin's category, right? Won a lot of football games with not a lot of star quarterbacks, right? And you spoke on it. Run the football, play defense. That's what he built his football team on. But when you look at Pete, you've been to two Super Bowls, right? One. Came over here, changed around the whole franchise. For me, I feel like Pete should have been the one to make this decision. All he's done for Seattle's organization, everything that he's brought to Seattle's organization, what he has proven to Seattle's organization, I felt like he should have been the one to make the choice to say, like, listen, let this be my last year coming up. Or you know what? I'm going to step down from coaching. I do not feel like they should have let go of Pete Carroll. The Seattle Seahawks, before Pete Carroll got there, who were they?
True.
Right? And since he's got there, the Seattle Seahawks has been one of the best football teams in the National Football League with not really high quarterback play.
But would he have ever made the decision? It sounds great in theory, 2-5. It sounds great in theory, Joy Taylor. Give Pete the opportunity to make the decision. If it was up to Bill Belichick, Bill Belichick ain't never going to stop. Mike Tomlin, it doesn't appear he ever going to stop. Pete Carroll, he ain't never going to stop. If you let coaches coach until they make the decision, they will
but
not
But see, the
stop.
Difference. The difference in this situation right here is he won 4-13. Or 4-15 or whatever that is. Like, we watching Bill Belichick's team like, Lord have mercy. Mm-hmm. We wasn't watching the Seattle Seahawks like that. Yes, they dropped a couple, like every team in the National Football League dropped a couple to some bad opponents. But like he said, we competed in every single game. You know, like, Geno was kicked to the curb. Like, Geno told people, man, hey, they buried me. I ain't right back. He got the best out of Geno. He got the best out of Drew Locke. You know, so for me, like I say, it's not like he was playing like Bill Belichick was playing. That's why we're saying, Bill, you don't get the choice. Right? We done seen these teams the last couple of years, and it ain't been good. That ain't really the case for Pete.
I'm torn because I do tend to agree with you. If you have a legendary career like Pete Carroll does, if you carry the prestige of being someone like Pete Carroll, you probably should be able to leave on your own terms. But you mentioned all the things that the Seahawks did. What are the Seahawks now? The Seahawks right now are outside of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And if we really evaluate what they did last year, they overachieved. They overachieved. And it made it look way better because Russ won it out. And Russ looked bad.
That's not good coaching, though?
I do think it is good coaching. But what are you aspiring to? What standard, which Pete Carroll helped set, are you holding yourselves to? I also wouldn't put Tomlin in that category. Tomlin is not 72 years old. I wouldn't even put Andy Reid in that category. Andy Reid is 65 years old. So, and I'm not calling Pete Carroll old. I'm just saying, like, you brought it up, so we're going to talk about the age thing. It's a different world. I don't think that Pete Carroll is not able to keep up with all those other coaches. Clearly, he is. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to where you're going as an organization, do you want to allow it to get to a Bill Belichick space? Because they are trending down. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have a Patrick Mahomes. They don't have a Tom Brady. They have a Geno Smith, mm-hmm. who got them not to the playoffs this year. So I'm conflicted because I do think that our legends deserve some respect. And if you're an organization that is in the position that you're in because of that coach, and most of us feel that he has played a massive role in what they've been able to accomplish, then perhaps that's the right way to do it. I don't like the he kind of soft said firing.
Mm-hmm.
He soft said it. Like when you say that you fought to stay somewhere, they didn't want you. You came to an agreement, but that's not what you wanted. So he's not really walking away on his own terms. So I don't know truly how to feel about it.
It's time for Pete to go. I love Pete Carroll. He had a chance to recruit me in high school. This one, Reggie Bush is Reggie Bush. He was my host, so you already know what time that was. But I love Pete, the way he interacts with his teammates, his players, and all that, and the coaches. But he is 71, or 72?
72.
72 years old. I mean, the game has changed. A lot of these old coaches, it's time to roll, right? And I hate to say it like that, but, like, you guys speak from a point of, like, loyalty and respect. Mm-hmm. And what are you owed? This is the NFL. They don't owe you nothing.
At all.
Owe you nothing. And the coaches, players, trainers, freaking the coaches don't even have, they don't have no union. The head coach pays them dues. They don't have no union for that. So all this loyalty is out the window. Pete Carroll is a really, really good coach, mm-hmm. right? And I think the only coaches that deserve to leave on their own terms are the super greats, right? And I don't think much of Belichick as the best coach of all time, but I do think he has respect because he's won 6 championships. Now, regardless if it's Tom Brady or not, he won a championship as a head coach. So he deserves it on his own terms, right? I think he should be gone, but if he wants to leave or he wants to stay, they probably worked it out because of things he's done. Mm-hmm. But in Pete Carroll, let's talk about him for a second. They're always barely over 500, right? The last, 7 years, he has one playoff win. Mm-hmm. Last year, they were 9-8. They get to the playoffs and got smoked mm-hmm. by a divisional opponent, the 49ers, mm-hmm. right? Let's not forget that. And then this year, they didn't go to the playoffs. So it's like, I get it. He's a name, and we do respect him. But in this business of football, there's no respect,
yeah.
right? It's all, what have you done for me lately? Yeah. I think that being 72 plus not being successful in the last couple of years plus being a younger game now, yep. it's time to move. It's time to move on.
So question for all y'all real quick. Pete stood up there and he said, man, I really gave my all. Cool. I wanted to coach this football
nice.
Team. So are y'all saying Pete is done as a coach? Like no interviews, none of these other teams that need coaches would hire Pete? Are you saying he's done?
I do not think that if I was running a team, I would not want Pete Carroll to be the head coach of my organization. Mm-hmm. Do I want him to be a coaching assistant? By all means. Come into the facility when you want to, audit our team, be an advisor, be a senior advisor to the head coach.
I like that.
But in a world where you are in a division, mm-hmm. where Sean McVay, I think, has just turned 40, if he has it all, Andy, off camera, please help me. Kyle Shanahan is 43. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Gannon, we don't know what to know about him, but Jonathan Gannon, I think, is in his 30s, and all of them appear that they can coach. McVay's 37 years old. How in the world can a guy like Pete exist there? Let's bounce around to another division in the NFC East. Let's stay in the NFC. Nick Sirianni, for what it is, People think he should still be the coach. He's winning. He's in his 30s. Let's go to the NFC South. Like, anywhere you go, the winning coaches are currently young, up-and-coming offensive wizards.
The unless
they got a good quarterback, then that's what helps out the old coaches.
The greatest
is
of all time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because offensive coaches get fired, too. Mm-hmm. And offensive coaches struggle, too. Yeah. It's less about being able to keep up with younger people and where the organization is going. So if you are going to how much longer is he going to coach for is really the question. It's not a matter of if he can keep up with those guys. He's clearly keeping up with them. There are other younger coaches who missed the playoffs as well. We're not like you're too young to be coaching in the NFL. So when we're talking about the age, to me, it matters for what's going to happen over the next couple years. Is he able to keep up with McVay and Shanahan?
But isn't that the same thing? Because I wouldn't say...
No, because right now, he is able to keep up with that.
I wouldn't say so. Because he hasn't won the division since, 2017, 16? Meanwhile, McVay been to the Super Bowl twice. Shanahan been to the Super Bowl once, went to the NFC Championship game last year, and is favored to go back to the Super Bowl again. Pete Carroll, obviously, he won it in 20. I don't think Pete Carroll's on the same level right now as McVay or Shanahan.
But we can make that argument for lots of coaches that are young.
Yeah.
It's not about him not, there's young coaches who are also not winning their division, who are also not overachieving. You can make that argument for young coaches as well. To me, it's about right now, where is this organization at right now? Where are we going in the immediate future? So how much longer is he going to coach for? That is really the question. Because right now he's 72. You look over the next 3 years, then he's 75. And then the next 5 years, if Andy Reid coaches for until he's 72, he's 65 right now. That's a significant amount of time.
Yeah. I just think that, Pete Carroll and respectfully, and Andy Reid, they're on two different playing fields. They're on two different universes. Andy Reid's different. Come on. You see the development of all the players Andy Reid coaches.
But Pete's the same thing, though.
Nah.
Defensive side.
Nah.
1,000%. You cannot. He got Hall of Famers.
How?
Pete got Earl. Pete got Cam. Pete got Sherm. Pete got Wagner. Pete got Hall of Famers that he drafted, I guess, developed. What I'm saying?
I can hear that because that's a long time ago, right? I just look at when I watch Andy Reid, I'm not going to freaking 20 years ago, 10 years ago. I'm going each year you see these dudes develop. All them young wide receivers we see dropping the ball and all that, watch them next year and a year after that. Watch how good they become. That's what he does. So I don't want to even go back and forth with Andy Reid and Pete Carroll. I see there's different levels. I'm going to give you an older coach comparison. But if I'm a GM, if you a GM, if you're an owner, right, and y'all want to have a successful franchise, this NFL thing, not even NFL, sports in general, it's a copycat league. So if I'm a GM and coach, who am I going to go get? Am I stick with the older coach or am I going to go with all the young guys that's rolling? If you look at all the championships and all the guys that's doing well, they're young.
Yeah.
Right? That's what this league is all about. If you see a play that works very well, right, the Philly, what's that? The Philly Special.
Yep.
After that happened, every week you see something similar to that.
Yep.
That's what the league is built on. It's about copycat. So now look at all the scrambling quarterbacks we have, the mobile quarterbacks. It used to be we want Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, right? Look at the league now. I don't care what color you wear. I don't care how tall you is. You need somebody to be mobile. Mm-hmm. That's what the league is all about. So when I look around the league, when I see all these young coaches that's winning, why don't I want to be them? That's what the owner's saying. Mm-hmm. That's what's winning. So I love Pete Carroll, but this league is all about copycat. And if I want to win and be a chance to get in the conference games, the Super Bowls, and if I'm not Andy Reid and I'm not developing like that at that age and being a super genius, I'm going to get the younger coaches because that's what's winning. They can relate to the players.
And what's young? We saying 50 and under?
No, I'm going
40
I'm
and
going
under?
40.
I'm going 40.
The only reason why I'm saying that 40. Is because if Tomlin got fired, he's going to be the hottest coach out there.
I don't agree. Say it. I don't agree.
I think he's going to be a hot commodity. But I'm saying, if a guy like Tomlin and a guy like Sean McVay's available,
you're getting Sean McVay.
You get what I'm saying?
But
you're getting.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of Sean McVays.
But that's where I disagree.
Well,
why? Sean McVay's been to two Super Bowls and won one.
But when he's won
the same amount of division titles as Kyle Shanahan.
You say that now because who he is? But there was a young Sean McVay, right?
Yeah.
That was super smart. The people on the building. You wouldn't say that because you didn't know that.
Because to me, go ahead.
No, I'm saying you don't get. My thing is, and I'll be quick. Give him some opportunity. So you saying Sean McVay because who he is now, right?
Right.
But if you look at that tree for Sean McVay,
Zach Taylor,
and the other one,
Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell, but no, the one
Mike McDaniel.
And Mike McDaniel, right? Mm-hmm. People in that they knew they were super smart geniuses. We gonna give these young dudes a shot. And everybody's like, they so young. Why would you give them a shot? Because we know what they know now. So them dudes can coach.
So you're telling me you're taking all those young coaches over Tomlin and
today? I mean, today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll keep Andy Reid out of it because you said Patrick Mahomes and the quarterback, even though he's 65. But you're taking all them coaches over Coach Mike as well.
Today?
I think in this day and age, they give you a better shot.
Yeah.
And again, the only reason I think so is because it's such an offensive and favorable towards an offensive league. It's such a quarterback-driven league. Quarterbacks are protected more now than they ever were when I was playing, when you were playing, and you were playing. And we were all playing not that long ago. So give me the Zach Taylor. Zach Taylor went to a Super Bowl in his second or third year as a head coach. Mm-hmm. Kevin O'Connell won 11 games, John McVay tree, in his first year as a head coach. 11 straight, or 11-0 he started.
Sirianni?
Mike McDaniel went to the playoffs in his first year as a head coach. These are all Sean McVay trees. Nick Sirianni went to a Super Bowl in his second year as a head coach.
So you're just making an argument for offensive coaches.
Young offensive coach.
Because Nico Ryans is not an offensive coach.
No, but the game's
Sean
about,
McDermott is not an offensive coach.
The game's about right now, if you have a – this is how it works. If you have a dominant quarterback, you could be a defensive coach.
Yeah.
But if you don't have that, overall, the dudes that's successful, if you look at the last couple Super Bowls, they always say, oh, defense, which that's cool. That used to be that. Now it's we need offense. Check it out.
I'm not disagreeing that I would hire a young offensive coach. I'm just saying that's not – we have two really good coaches in the postseason right now that are defensive coaches.
But the kicker is
– who's the second one?
D'Amico.
McDermott and D'Amico.
But I'm thinking about –
what they got.
But hold on.
D'Amico got a rookie.
But think I think about the numbers.
You know where you're going to be.
Two out of 14. And if you want to count Harbaugh, that makes three.
We do. But
Harbaugh's a special teams coach. I don't count Harbaugh as a defensive coach.
But he's not an offensive coach.
Agreed. So let's go full picture. And I'm doing this off the top of my mind, so apologies.
Mike Tomlin's also a defensive coach.
So you have, in the NFC, you got Shanahan.
Okay.
He's a one seed.
Yeah.
You got McCarthy. He's a two seed. Yeah. You got Dan Campbell. I think he's a three seed. You got Todd Bowles. He's a four seed.
Right.
The five seed, who you got? You got Nick Sirianni. He's a five seed. You got Jordan Love, his coach, Matt LaFleur.
Offense.
He in that joint. And then the Rams is McVay. That's offense.
Yeah.
So, like, it's cute that in the AFC that D'Amico slid in there. Shout out to D'Amico Ryans for sliding there. I think it's a six or the seven seed. I love that for him. Yeah, four seed. It's great, but it's offense.
Unless
you have that quarterback.
The numbers would point to that, yes. But I don't think it's cute that D'Amico Ryans is there. I think he came in there and turned that culture around and has absolutely overachieved with the roster that we didn't think was going to be anywhere near the playoffs, let alone winning the division.
If you're betting is what it comes down to, because obviously D'Amico's a friend of mine. A shout out to D'Amico. But we're kind of saying the same thing. We're all going with offense, young offensive mind.
But see, I'm not necessarily – I don't, like – this young and old means nothing to me.
Yeah, it doesn't to me either. It's more about to me where the Seattle Seahawks are, because this is obviously what we're talking about right now, where the Seattle Seahawks are right now, how they're trending, and how long Pete Carroll is going to coach for. That's why the age matters to me, because I think he is keeping up with all of the other young coaches around the league, because we're mentioning a few of them. There's lots of other offensive young coaches who are not winning, not in the playoffs, that we could be critical of, that haven't been winning their division. That we can do that. We're just not going to spend all this block talking about it. To me, it's about the Seattle Seahawks as an organization said it's time to make a change. Mm-hmm. We are trending down. We don't want to be the Patriots. We don't want to be in a position where we've got our legendary coach barely out here winning. We don't have a quarterback of the future because we don't necessarily believe in Geno Smith as a franchise guy. So maybe there is some friction about philosophy and where the organization needs to go and what we need to do. So rather than it being completely messy or falling apart, let's make this change now and not in 3 years when it's really bad. To me, that's why the age matters.
But if he was 55, I don't know that they'd be
so
making
this. How old is Doug Peterson?
56?
Okay, yeah.
Super Bowl 50.
Yeah, so he's not young. Right? So that's why I'm like, this age really don't mean nothing because you won it with Bruce, right?
Tom Brady. That's my point.
That matters.
That's my point.
And Bruce Arians is a genius offensive mind.
I'm with you. So that's why I'm saying age don't matter.
No. Hold on. So I think I'm not going to use Andy Reid because he's different.
But use Doug Peterson because he won it with Foles.
Was he 50 years old?
He was 50
years old. I mean, 50 ain't that bad. 50 ain't that bad. And then I'm being serious. And then I think, if you look at today's game, for example, when they get a new coach to Seahawks, I guarantee you they're not bringing no old head up in there.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get somebody young.
Of course.
Do you know why? Because that's what's winning right now.
Right.
I want to be a winner.
I don't want no less.
Like, what are we talking about? I want to be a winner.
Other than Sean McVay,
all coaches is winning Super Bowls.
Say that again.
You can touch on the quarterback.
That's a lie.
Who's winning? Who is winning that? Who's winning Super Bowl?
Andy Reid.
He had Patrick Mahomes.
Doug Peterson in his 50s. Bruce Arians.
He had Tom Brady. That's what I'm telling you. Unless you have Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes.
So you're saying if Pete Carroll right now.
So Pete ain't got the best.
If Pete had a season, let's say the Chiefs lose this weekend, right? Entirely possible.
Right.
But he's got Patrick Mahomes.
Uh-huh.
So we're not worried about age because it's Patrick Mahomes or because he's an offensive coach?
Because if you have Pat and if you have Tom Brady.
I agree.
If you have Pat and you have Brady.
I guess for me, it's not about
goes out there and loses this weekend his age. Like that's.
No, what I'm saying is very simple. Young coaches are winning. Unless you have Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady, it is objective. Last year, it was Nick Sirianni. And it was Andy Reid. He had Patrick Mahomes. The year before, I think Zach Taylor was in that joint with Sean McVay.
Mm-hmm.
The year before, Bruce Arians was in that joint. Who'd y'all beat? With Jeez. Andy Reid. It was Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. Brady and Patrick Mahomes.
Pete Carroll needed to have a franchise quarterback.
You need to have my thing is, if you're a defensive coach and you're older at that, you need to have a dominant offensive quarterback. If you don't have that, it's
a wrap.
For example, you're a Miami fan in general, right? When they brought in Mike McDaniels, was you happy about that? Did you know anything about him? Like, was he?
I was excited to see what he was going to do. Miami's probably an outlier.
But he was young. He was like this young dude.
Yeah, but we had a young defensive coach.
And then as soon he came on the spot, we love him. That's what happens. Sean McVay's another one. You didn't know who Sean McVay was like that.
Yeah.
Came up in there.
But it's old coaches who did that too. You played with McDermott. McDermott did that. You always brag about how good of a coach.
I know, but what I'm saying is. Am I saying this? You say it, because I keep saying it. Unless you have a franchise-dominant quarterback, right, it don't work.
So, saying is if you're an old coach and don't have a franchise quarterback, you're not going to be
you're
good.
Not. That's right. Get a young dude in there.
What about the young dude?
That's like I'm single at 60, and I'm going to go dating another 60-year-old. I ain't doing that. Who's doing that?
But then we got these Doug Petersons that's young at 50 winning Super Bowls with Nick Foles.
I guess my question is, what kind of smoke are we providing for the young coaches that are
at home right now?
Like who?
Yeah, that's
everybody who's not in the playoffs.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati won 8 or 9 games with their backup quarterback.
And you know who also did that, but is in the playoffs? Mike Tomlin, who's a defensive coach, who nobody wants to hire.
Bruh, you guys are bragging about how good these young coaches is with bad quarterbacks. Cincinnati and was just in the Super Bowl with a bad quarterback, offensive guru-minded young coach, won 3 games with Buddy. So what?
Games you're talking about the year before?
No, with Jake Brown, he won 3 games. Joe won those 5.
I'm done talking about this. So now we're talking about the
What Zach Taylor did with the Bengals is both more impressive and to me it is more promising than what Pete Carroll did with the
Bengals. Was it more impressive or promising than what Mike Tomlin in his own division did with less talent to begin the season and multiple quarterbacks? Throughout the season?
No, I think what Mike Tomlin did is absolutely impressive. Helps to have
it doesn't help to have. You know why he has that defense? Because he's a defensive coach.
Correct. I think what Mike Tomlin did is impressive. But I am saying if I am hiring, simply put, I'm hiring a young offensive mind because that is what
I'm hiring a good football coach.
Yeah.
How old is Stefanski?
Me too.
Got to be in his 50s. But he had 17 quarterbacks.
I don't look. Again,
he had 17.
Nah, Stefanski's 41.
I hate arguing about the age.
Oh, coaching has got him a little bit. Damn, I'm dog. Great.
Here we go. Sorry about that shade.
I'm going to be there in a minute.
Anyone coach of the year at 38.
Listen, I just think it is less about Pete Carroll's actual age, and it's about where they are as an organization, where they're trending. And when you look around the league, Shady said it, it's a copycat league. You're looking at one of the greatest coaches, someone that we held a very high prestige, some of us, and Bill Belichick, who won 6 Super Bowls, deteriorate the entire organization very quickly because he didn't have a franchise quarterback in Tom Brady. So if you're the Seahawks, perhaps you're just looking at this as we don't want to be that. We want to pivot with grace and dignity. And while it doesn't feel like, Pete said that he wanted to stay there, this might just be the right pivot at this point for the organization. I don't know. That's my piece.
Stefanski, I like the salt and pepper.
Y'all better not talk about me this way when I'm 72. I know that.
I need salt and pepper opinion. You good, my dog.
Well, Russell Wilson, he had a comment. He actually chimed in on social media, said, one of the greatest ever. Keep shooting, coach. Grateful for the memories at Pete Carroll. Best is ahead. It's interesting. It's interesting. We got to comment on that one after this break. When we return, the Chiefs, we already know that they are in the playoffs. But who is under the most pressure in Kansas City this weekend? Is all the pressure on Patrick Mahomes? Whew, what a show. We just getting started.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Family, we are in second and short. Well, Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs, say host the Miami Dolphins in the playoffs. Weather currently supposed to be -8 degrees last time I checked. KC's offense, it is absolutely struggling, averaging a touchdown less per game than last year. But Pat said he's, quote, extremely confident they'll get back on track. A lot of pressure on a lot of people this weekend, but Joy, is all the pressure on the Chiefs?
No. No, there's no pressure on the Chiefs at all. Also, God bless all the fans going out there. I can't.
I done played in some of them games.
Yeah, if there ain't blood on that field, I'm gonna be inside. That's crazy. I've sat through some games in Akron, Ohio like that. No more. Yeah, that's gotta be family on the field for that. That's commendable. No, the pressure's on the Dolphins. The Chiefs have won the division for the 8th straight year. Their playoff streak goes back even longer, 9 seasons. Since Mahomes has become the starter, he's 9 games better than any other NFL team. The Chiefs are 75-24. We know what they've done in the postseason. We know they've won Super Bowls. We know Patrick Mahomes has won MVPs. We know that we hold Andy Reid in a completely different category than any other coach right now. Age ain't nothing but a number for Andy Reid. So, no, all the pressure's on the Dolphins. The Dolphins haven't won the division since 2008. They haven't won a playoff game since 2000.
Yuck.
No. Pressure's on the Dolphins. We don't even know if Tua's going to get paid. We're having conversations about if you pay Tua, is he a franchise quarterback? Mike McDaniel, hello. He's a young offensive coach. We just talked about this. Young offensive coach. You had a 3-game lead in the division. You didn't win it. Now you have to go to Kansas City, and you lost it to the Bills. An old coach, a defensive coach, and now you got to go to Kansas City and play. And what did you say, -9?
Ooh.
Yeah, it's not good.
That's 9 degrees less than no temperature. Okay?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Okay? That's indescribably
that's
cold.
How it works.
Okay, but that's how I'm going to say it, because no, I need it to be
effective. That's how you break it down to the world, though. That's how you break it down
to
the world.
You know, when it's at 0, it's less than that. So, no, if the Chiefs lose this, yes, we're going to have some questions. We're going to talk about what they need to do in the offseason. We're not going to question whether Patrick Mahomes is the future. We're not going to question if they made a mistake paying him. We're not going to question Andy Reid. We're not going to question the front office. We're going to have full faith that they're able to turn it around next year, and I bet they're at the top of the odds to win the Super Bowl at the start of next season. That will not be the case if the Miami Dolphins do not win this game. There is no pressure. Pressure? No. It would be disappointing. It'll be disappointing, but pressure is on the Miami Dolphins.
I love that take. I love it because it was very well said, and I don't agree with any of it. I don't agree with any of it.
Do you agree with the zero temperature zero, part?
I agree with the zero.
Yeah, we all agree
I think
with that.
All of the pressure is on the Chiefs, all of it, because it is harder in my mind to get on top, or to stay on top, rather, than to get on top, as you pertains to being excellent. And if the Chiefs lose, we lead in the show talking about that. The Dolphins lose. Good run. But Tua's not supposed to be able to beat Mahomes. Shady, you played in Arrowhead before. Not to mention, when you think about the health of these rosters, Miami Dolphins just signed 2 people my age. They signed Bruce Irvin and they signed Justin Houston because they're out of pass rushers. Phillips hurt. Chubb hurt. Everybody hurt. The Dolphins aren't even supposed to win this game just off the nature of their whole roster is hurt. But if Patrick Mahomes loses to Tua? If Andy Reid loses to McDaniel at home, LeSean McCoy, I can't get with it. I think all the pressure's on the Chiefs, do you?
Yeah, I think all the pressure's on the Chiefs. I mean, just think about this for a second. I think the Chiefs have the better coach, better quarterback, right, and they have more of a healthier team. You just talked about the injuries for the Dolphins. They got a lot of injuries, right? And then from playing with the Bills and playing the Dolphins around this time, right? Well, maybe not around this time, but in December, right? The Dolphins players will be so cold, you can see it. Everybody got hoodies on, everybody. They're not ready to play. They cold. They can't wait to get this game over with. So now you look at Arrowhead, right? First of all, Patrick Mahomes is with 9-2 in Arrowhead in the playoffs. Like, he's a winner, winner, winner. And then you had Andy Reid. They used to this weather, right? It get cold in Kansas City. I don't know if you ever been there and all that. It gets cold, cold. So knowing that, like, you have the advantage for that. Home field advantage because you're at home, right? The playoffs, I mean, crazy fans drinking from, I don't know, in the morning time to the game time, right? And then you talk about the weather. It's going to be cold out there.
Yeah.
And I don't care what no people say out there. When you on that field and you cold, you think about it.
What?
You think about it. So in that regard, I feel like you have to have their advantage. And then the last part is, it's the Chiefs. Damn. Think about if the Chiefs went out the first playoff game.
I know.
One and done.
One and
done. Do you know how we going to talk about that? So I hear what you say, Joy, and I respect a lot that you say. But when you talk about one and done, the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, the throne, the king of it. Well, it was Game of Thrones, Patrick Mahomes' throne, right? Andy Reid, like, the first game? Now, they had a lot of struggles this year. I've seen it, but still, I got them guys going out there and winning. And if they don't, that's a lot of pressure. I'm gonna let them hear it.
Yeah, this is tough because, I mean, number one, I done played in some brutal games. Negative 20s. Negative. Yeah, negative.
You love 20s. Football. You love football.
Negative 17, toes frozen, fingers frozen, snot froze on your face. You ain't pulling your hands out your thing to wipe it. You don't even care. It is what it
That's
is.
True.
But this is split down the middle for me, 50-50. Right? You got a young coach. Y'all talk about young coaches. He's never won a playoff game.
True.
Right? You just had a 3-game lead up in the playoffs. I mean, up in your division. Right? And you lose the division. Now you have to go to the Colts. You could have been in Miami if you just handled business. And you didn't handle business. So we're talking about money for Tua. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a young coach trying to get a win on the road, get his first playoff win after just giving up the lead he gave up in the division. That is pressure. Tua has to go out here and deliver. I don't care who's hurt. I don't care what it is. If we really look at both these football teams, they really the same. They really the same. Dolphins lost 3 out of their last 5. Chiefs lost 3 out of their last 6. They really the same. They not playing good football. It's really about the team that's going to play the best. Tua has to respond. And as for the Chiefs, Shady said it best. One and done.
Ugh.
And you crazy. Two-time MVP, two-time Super Bowl champion, never had a road playoff game yet. Right, this one is at the crib. Joy said it's 0-9, whatever, 0, whatever that is. Right, that's your guys' type weather. They have to go out here and win a football game. They have not played good football all season long. The pressure is on them to not go one and done. Because if he does, it's going to be some different conversations on TV show.
But Joy, what will the conversations be? It'll just be that how disappointed we are, and what do the Chiefs need to do? Okay, well. I mean, I don't think so. This is what I always get to for me.
Yeah.
Does your resume matter at all?
Yes, it does.
Like, does the equity that you have in the game matter at all? Yeah. Does what you've accomplished year after year after year, not one road playoff game yet?
Yeah.
But all the division that you won, all the times you won the division, you're not allowed to have a down year.
You are, but you know the world forgets quick.
You know what? Shame on them then, because you should be able to have a down year when you have that much success. You have a stranglehold on the NFL. If you said the Chiefs are the field at the beginning of the season, almost everyone would take the Chiefs. You believe that because they do it every single year.
But you can lose to the Ravens. Cool. Even lose to the Bills. Cool. But I don't know if at this junction in time, it's okay to lose to Tua and the maligned Miami Dolphins.
Okay, but like, I hear you on the injuries. I hear you on the injuries. And, like, believe me, it sucks that we're not getting a fully staffed Miami Dolphins team, because that team looks really good on paper and they play even better when they're on the field, particularly the defense. But being healthy is part of the game. Mm-hmm. And every single year, we have a team that enters in the playoffs who's not particularly healthy. We still expect them to go out there and play their best ball. The Dolphins don't have a resume to speak of. They don't have anything to put on the table. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes dropping rings and MVPs and divisional titles and blah, blah, blah. What's your guy?
That's why it's pressure, though.
I understand, doesn't any of that matter? Like, you can't have a down year?
Well, what I'm saying is you're supposed to win. Right? You just name all that stuff, all them accolades, rings and things, and you're dropping all this and that, MVPs. You're supposed to beat the Dolphins. First of all, y'all better than them. You already beat them. And the number thing is, like, they got a lot of injuries. So my thing is, if I'm a team that has all this big resume, I'm a player, all this resume, and I'm playing against a guy that don't have it, and you tell me no pressure, the Dolphins in that locker room, you know what they're going to say, the coach? Go out here, guys. Give it all you got. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen. Hey, look. We got nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. That's when you're the underdog, you know that. That's the saying they give you. We got nothing to lose.
That's true. Let it all out.
You're going to see fake field. I mean, you're going to see fake punts. You'll see everything because they have nothing to lose. When the other team has real pressure. Mm-hmm. We can't lose to the Dolphins. We have a better team than them. We got Patrick
Mahomes. You're at home, bro.
We got Andy Reid. There's no way we can lose this team.
Not only that, the resume attached to it.
And if, yeah.
But we're sitting up here having conversations about how this is the easiest run the Bills are ever going to have. This is the easiest run the Ravens are ever going to have. Patrick Mahomes is healthy. Travis Kelce is healthy. Yeah. Andy Reid's available. The defense is still there. So are they? Okay. Well, then if that's the case, then why are we talking about like they're supposed to win?
Because the Dolphins have been playing worse. Mm. Like if it was the Ravens, again, it's because it's the Dolphins and it's because of how injured the Dolphins are. And it's the Dolphins. You can't lose to Miami. And I love Miami. At least
you
can't, I love
it. I hear you. I'm not saying that it's not.
But you can't.
I hear you. But what's it mean if they do?
To them. I think this was a fascinating conversation.
What you say it again?
Like, what does it mean if they lose to the Dolphins?
There's going
to
be so many questions.
Yes.
Think about it, though. It'd be so many crazy topics. You think there's going to be no wild topics?
I'm sure there will.
Is Patrick Mahomes still on top? Is it still his league?
Yeah. Is he the best? Is Jackson take over the best quarterback in football?
How come Patrick Mahomes couldn't carry his team to this win? Is Andy Reid, is he too old?
Is it catching up to him?
I hate him, but it's real. That's what they do.
That emotional and hysterical, I guess, because I don't see it that way. I see it as your resume and what you've accomplished should matter. You should be able to slip a little bit. You should be able to have a down year. You're not going to win every single year. You're not going to dominate every single year. And if those are the conversations that people want to have, more power to you. I would like to see what the Chiefs look like next year. I bet they don't come back looking like this next year.
It just sucks because we all know that this is a what have you done for me lately league. And it sucks that yes, people soon to forget very, very quickly all the things you accomplished. You talk about any of the greats, right? They're going to come with something that they did not do well or a season that they may have lost. Any of the greats, right? You talk Aaron Rodgers, got to win in the playoffs. You talk Tom Brady, had Bill Belichick, whatever it is, but it's always something. If Patty go out here and lose round one at home, it's going to be a lot of questions.
In 2019, or was it 18? I forget which one it was. No, 2019. With Tom Brady, he was the Patriots, and they lost in playoffs, right? Mm. And they were killing Tom. Yeah, right now, Tom's team, or not team, but his weapons was...
Way...
They just wasn't that good that. And they killed Tom Brady.
Yeah, they did.
The GOAT. All the resumes you talk about, you got all of them. Everything you want to talk about. He leaves, he's done, he's this, that, and the third. We don't want him. Some teams that he wanted to go to... They didn't want him.
They didn't want him.
Tom talks about that. He spoke about that. Mm-hmm. So then he goes to the Buccaneers and was a championship. And you know what happens? Everybody jumps back on his bandwagon. But what I'm saying, you talk about the resume part. They didn't care about that.
They don't care.
They tried to write my dog off. He was this, he was that. Now he's 7-time champion.
Yeah, but Tom was also... Tom did something we had never seen before.
What's that?
We talk about age a lot today. Maybe it's because my birthday's coming up. Patrick Mahomes is a young quarterback.
But what I'm saying, you talked about resume. You talked about things he's accomplished, right?
No, I hear you, but like part of that was because, is Tom Brady declining? Is his career over? Is he going to retire?
We would ask
if Patrick Mahomes is declining.
Nah, but think about it like this. If Lamar Jackson goes out and wins the Super Bowl this year.
Or Josh.
But really Lamar.
Because
Lamar then would have two MVPs and a Super Bowl. And potentially a Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
Or at least two MVPs in a Super Bowl. All of a sudden, we're going to start to say.
Oh, no, no.
That's what people are going to say. You just said that people don't talk crazy. Yeah. People are going to start to say, Pat got two MVPs, Lamar got two MVPs, and a unanimous one. Pat got two Super Bowls, Lamar. People will do it. That's why I think Pat's...
You got to be... Oh, no, if you want to go out there and do that, you're going to get cooked, and you deserve it. You will deserve every bit of roast that you get.
I'm just speaking off. I'm not even going to that. That's real deep into it. If they will do that, that sounds wild, but they will do that. I'm talking more of this, the whole dynasty of DNA of the Chiefs. Now, if they go out and they should win this game, right? I'm betting them to win this game. Let's say they lose to Lamar and lose to Josh. Mm-hmm. I can respect that.
Oh, of course.
On a down year, you lose to Josh Allen or you lose to the best team in football.
They're going
to
go on to win.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
You lose to the Dolphins, I can't be cool with that because, forget Patrick Mahomes. Let's talk about the franchise with
Andy Reid.
Andy Reid has brought there. He changed that whole thing. When you talk about football today, it's the Chiefs. It ain't nothing to be talking, it's the Chiefs. So my thing is, if you have the Chiefs, that everything they built from the chemistry to the culture, lose to the Dolphins. The Dolphins, that's a team that don't really have an identity, though. They just have talent and a really, really smart coach. Think about it.
Tom Brady didn't win a Super Bowl for a 10-year span.
Okay, what about it? Why are you bringing that up?
Okay. right? Is that correct? I'm tripping.
Yeah, 04 to 14.
Where are you going with this?
Dynasty wasn't over.
Yeah, but people said at the time.
People say a lot of stuff that don't make no damn sense all the time. I'm saying, look, if everyone wants to lose their minds, listen, it's 2024. We done already lost our minds 6 days
but
in.
But I think what you're saying, though, is the issue at hand. Because if this would be the end, because Tom Brady didn't win one for 10 years, from 04 to 14. If Pat loses this year, then it's a fair conversation to say, is this the end of that run? Tom Brady had two dynasties. Yeah. He didn't have one. He had his first one. He had a second one. If the Chiefs lose, all of a sudden, there will be questions. Chris Jones, is he going back again? Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce, is he fully declined? Yeah. They don't have any wide receivers that they truly believe in going forward. The running back room, what they going, like, people will start to wonder. And I do think it's fair. If the Chiefs fall off this year... Yeah.
Okay. Well, they won the Super Bowl last year. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to go on the record now that if the Dolphins, who we think has a franchise quarterback, or like sort of a franchise quarterback and a brilliant young offensive mind, which is what everyone in the league wants, and you know had an opportunity to win the division and fell off, like if they win in a maligned year, I am not going to write the Chiefs off. I'm gonna say that Patrick Mahomes is still really good. Yeah, they're still gonna have a potential to win the Super Bowl. Andy Reid is still, you know, at the top of the game. But everybody else can, you know, be hysterical.
I don't think people are writing them off, but there'll definitely be some conversations around the team. And we all know.
We've had conversations about the team all year, though.
More expectations, more pressure. That's their fault. That's Patty's fault.
You know what? I'm glad that my Dolphins are in this game, because I'd be rooting hard for the Chiefs if they weren't.
When we return, the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, he has expectations. He has pressure. Mike McCarthy has turned the Dallas Cowboys around. But Jerry Jones had a comment that makes me ask the question, can Mike McCarthy afford to go one and done? Is his job on the line? Say it ain't so, but crazier things have happened in Dallas.
That's what I've heard.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Breaking news in college football. I can't believe what I am about to say. Nick Saban retiring after 17 seasons. Retiring, people, after 17 seasons. 7 national championships, 6 at Alabama, 1 at LSU. I really can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I cannot believe this. James, I'll start with a personal story. Nick Saban won his first national title at Alabama against me and my Texas Longhorns. It was 2009, 35 minutes down the road at the Rose Bowl. To me, Nick Saban is the greatest college football coach of the modern era.
Yeah.
I mean, the way that he continued to stay on top year after year after year, the way that he transformed his football teams. Remember, he won his first national title with Greg McElroy. Greg McElroy was not a prolific passer. Then he began to win national titles with Tua Tagovailoa. Mm-hmm. All the while in the mix, he had running quarterbacks, he had air raid quarterbacks, he had I-formation pro-style offenses, and he had West Coast offenses. What Nick Saban was able to do in college football, I don't think we will see be done again, particularly because of the increase in parity, because of the NIL. Nick Saban was truly a football savant. We throw that word around often. Oh, he's a savant. He's a savant. No, Nick Saban was a savant, because think about Nick Saban's coaching tree, whether it's Jimbo Fisher, whether it's Will Muschamp, people that go to the NFL and come back, the Bill O'Briens of the world. So Nick Saban's legacy in college football is greater than anybody's legacy in the modern era. Yeah. And what Nick Saban did, absolutely astonishing. I can't believe he's retiring. I can't believe it.
Yeah, this is mind-blowing to me, because you talk about a dude that absolutely loves football. If it was Friday, he would be getting his flowers, and that probably still come.
But
when you talk about a coach, he is the greatest coach in college football. I don't even think that's really up for debate. With what he did in college football, the way he came over there and changed that program, changed, like, all the players that he has put in the National Football League, all the kids' lives that he has touched, this is a big-time football coach, man, that is gone, man. Like, my little homeboy, my little son want to go to Alabama and play for Saban. He probably going to be crushed when he get home from school that Saban is out there. He thought he might hold on for when it was his time. But this is a big-time coach, man. I am really surprised by this, because, I mean, every time you seen him, football was on his mind. And for him to say, it is over, this is tough. It's tough.
I mean, he's also 72. Mm-hmm. Wasn't going to coach forever. Mm. The game is changing a lot. You mentioned NIL. It's a different world. When NIL first got introduced, everyone was panicking and very worried about what it was going to do to college football. In a lot of ways, what it's done is level the playing field. Because now you're seeing a lot of different moves around a lot of different universities. Recruiting is already stressful enough in college. And if you don't know about how insane recruiting is, you add NIL to it, it is a whole other world. It is more complicated. You're competing with different types of organizations and programs and coaches and social media. It's just a different world. Him retiring, though, kind of signals, I feel like a new chapter in college football. He's that influential as a figure in the sport, as a football coach overall. But his reputation, the dynasty that he's had, like you mentioned, the influence that he's had on the NFL with all the players that have gone there. To say this is big news is an understatement. Yeah. But I really feel like it feels like almost an ushering of a new era or something.
Yeah, I think Nick Saban's a hell of a coach. Great coach, great resume. He's done a lot for this college program and college football in general. But my question is, and I want to say congratulations for a great career, but my question is, like, why he leaving? I'm thinking about that. Why is he really leaving? Mm. And I think that being at 72, right, that may factor into it. I think he's a super smart guy. And I don't think Alabama will be the same.
Yeah.
I'm talking about even when he was there. Mm-hmm. When the last time you seen Alabama not be the best team in football, best talent in football?
That's the thing.
And I feel like now, I think you add in his age at 72, and I think you add in that now he can't get all the best players he used to get. Mm-hmm. Right? NIL's changed the game. And who had the biggest, who was the most vocal about the NIL?
He was.
He was one of them. Yep.
So what I'm saying is, right, because Clemson ain't going to be the same no more, what a coincidence. What I'm saying is this, right, and it's not against him, I'm just speaking on what I feel. I feel that him being 72 has something to do with his retirement, and also, you're not going to get the best player, so you're not going to be as dominant. Mm. When I watched Alabama in this playoff, I was like, they deserve to be here?
Yeah.
Because Alabama, I'm used to, is dominant. We're going to run this ball. We got better linemen. We got better running backs, right? We got better wide receivers. Now we got better quarterbacks. It ain't the same no more. So I'm going to say is this. He's a smart man. The dude in New England should do the same thing. Mm. Tommy leaving. Whoa, it's looking different. Let me get up out of here. And now we're going to give him his roses, because if not, if he stayed there for the next 4 or 5 years, we're going to see.
But here's what's interesting. I think a large part of what you're saying is right.
Yeah, of course.
I think the student had surpassed the teacher. Kirby Smart was Nick Saban's defensive coordinator for years. I used to love Kirby Smart because Kirby Smart was the defensive coordinator back when they beat us. Kirby Smart's at Georgia now. Mm-hmm. And Georgia has been better than Alabama for 3 years running. I do understand that Alabama did beat Georgia in the SEC championship game. Brock Bowers obviously maligned with an injury. So the student surpassed the teacher in Kirby Smart. But then on top of that, this is why I agree with you, Shady, is that Nick Saban realizes he does not have the chokehold on college football that he once did.
Yeah.
He ain't got the chokehold. He's still competitive, but he doesn't have the chokehold he had on college football that he once did. And for that reason, maybe get out now. The only thing that's curious to me, you got Jalen Milroe for at least another year or two.
Yeah.
So, like, if you already got this dude who's proven to be a high-quality quarterback at the collegiate level, why not just ride it out as Milroe rides it out, and when Milroe gone, I dip off.
Yeah. Nope. Wait, real quick. And I like the young kid, but do you see that? I don't see that when I watch it.
Only in college. I don't think it's a great program.
In college, I've seen him have Tua, right? I've seen him Jalen Hurts. I seen these type of even Mac Jones. I seen some. He ain't with them.
He's a young boy. First year's a starter.
He not with them.
He's a young boy. First year's a starter.
When I seen that young Jalen Hurts, I'm like, oh wow, oh okay, wow. He don't wow me. And to be honest, when I watch a lot of Alabama dudes, they don't wow me no more. When I watch Georgia, they wow me. Georgia look like the old Alabama.
That's fair.
Right. Yeah. So my thing is, if I'm a coach and I'm 72 and I got all these rings and things, I got a lot of money in my pocket and I run Alabama, why wouldn't I leave?
But
I'm out of here. Because I don't want to go against Georgia because I know what they are.
But you just beat them and went to the playoffs.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. You beat them. That's cool. Anybody can be beat. That's cool. If they play 10 times.
I agree with you.
We talk about this all the time. You're not always.
But boom.
You're not always going to leave at the top of the top of your sport, at the top of your industry. But he's still at the top. He still just beat Georgia. He still was in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
That's the top. That's not a national championship. We always want everything to be roses and perfect and how you would script it at the end of a perfect movie. That ain't life. Yeah. Walk away with your pride, your dignity, your legacy, and we can say, yeah, it was, you know, they didn't accomplish what they wanted to accomplish at the end of Nick Saban's career, but he ain't leaving in the dust. You have to know when to walk away from something.
But I don't know that it's time.
It's maybe time. It's not. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
No, it's time.
But we won't. It's we don't. Time. We will not have the opportunity to watch things deteriorate, which could happen.
It's smart
and
man.
And Nick Saban, exactly. Nick Saban is not a stupid man. Mm-mm. It could get better, mm-mm, but it could get worse. Yeah. And why would you want to put yourself in that situation? And he is 72 years old. You have an unbelievable legacy.
Oh, it's going to get worse.
But you have an unbelievable legacy right now. Yeah, do we feel like Nick Saban owes the sport of football anything?
No, of course not.
No.
Of course not.
Nah, he's a great coach.
But let's, because we just had this conversation kind of last topic, right? If Patrick Mahomes lose, we're going to forget everything he done. Mm-hmm. Let's celebrate the man. Greatest coach in college football, man, just retired. You know what I'm saying? And yes, it could be some NIL, it could be all that. But what he accomplished on that football field and with these players, he's the greatest coach of all time in college football. It'll be time to dig into that. But flowers for my man today, man.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I can believe it. I can believe it. Anybody that's smart.
I'm glad that he's walking away on his own terms.
Of course. But we've never seen Saban be bad. I've never seen Saban be bad. I had to go
and
up against
stayed,
Saban.
You wouldn't see him be bad.
Bingo. I don't believe, because college to me, Shady, is different than the NFL with salary cap and all that. He might not be able to be number one, but he finished this year.
He's gonna
fifth.
Be in the playoffs.
We watched his last game.
Playoffs
in
going to 12 teams. Bama gonna be in that thing.
But my thing is, you saying that right? Mm-hmm. So his bad ain't the regular bad.
Like, right? This is bad for him. You're saying?
No. I'm just saying. So let's make sure they don't make the playoffs.
They're gonna be one of the 12 best teams.
Yes.
You feel me?
Oh, like, it's changing.
It's changing.
Oh,
it's okay. So, like, he got to be in the dance.
Okay, so many players, but they don't like, go to the championship in the natty. Yeah. That's bad for him. So, he's a smart dude. And then another thing is, you tell me Alabama didn't look different this year?
But here's my thing, though, 2-5.
Thing?
Even in their different, Michigan beat them, James Romani, in overtime. Like, even in their, even in Alabama's different. You and I were there, but I forget. Like,
yeah.
it took overtime for him to not go to the natty.
So, for example, so NIL's been out for 2 years?
Yeah, this might going on 3.
Yeah, it's going to get tougher. If you ever listen to, like, all the stories on Nick Saban when he's recruiting you, right? It's that macho, hey, look, we win here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We got great players before you and after you. You're going to come here and be part of us. We want you, right? I'm playing for Alabama. Now, the first thing is, what's up with that money, my man? Yeah, that's cool. I know you great. Yeah, I know. Where the money at? That's the issue now. So now when you watch Alabama, they look way different. They look different. I don't see no Heisman close winners in there.
You finished 6th, though, 2-5.
I hear what you're saying, but this is the second year in NIL. NIL's going to go on. Y'all talking about today.
Okay,
let's think about the next 5 years. The Alabama team I've seen in the next 5 years, I do not see them playing for no championship. And that's a bad thing for a guy like Nick Saban that's up here. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. When I look around other teams, like, and I always try to compare to what I know. Mm-hmm. So when I look at Georgia, I look at Georgia as the old.
They've been like that.
Right? I used to tell dudes in the NFL, we used to argue about LSU and that. I say, hold up, it ain't no rivalry. Bama better than y'all. Ain't no rivalry. Nowadays, when you look at Georgia, yo, that look like the old Alabama for my eyes.
Correct. Yeah.
And I'm saying, as the NIL gets bigger and bigger and bigger, Alabama going to look like.
Yeah, but for me, as great as Coach Saban was, mm-hmm, and is, mm-hmm, even with the NIL money, I think as great as the coach is, as he is, mm-hmm, he will still be in the mix. I'm not saying they're going to be blowing people out. They just beat a team in Georgia who won almost 30 straight games.
And you're not wrong, but for the exact reason that we did the segment, the last segment, and the segment before that, it's all about what have you done for me lately. And Nick Saban's standard is national championship.
It's
being in the national championship, is winning the national championship.
Let me get, we got to pay off a break real quick. Let's come back, hit this news that is literally earth-shattering. I cannot believe the words that are coming out of my mouth. Nick Saban retiring, people. When we return, we just got to dissect it. Right decision, wrong decision. Right time, wrong time. We have to break it all down on the other side of this commercial break. The
breaking news, Nick Saban has officially retired. I cannot believe it. Here's a question, though. Right time or wrong time? I don't know that this was the right time for him to step away, given how good his team still currently is, and given the quarterback he has on the field in Jalen Milroe, who finished sixth in the Heisman voting. James, you and I were at the Rose Bowl watching Nick Saban's last game. Cannot believe, again, I'm saying that. It went into overtime versus a Michigan team that went on to win a national championship by a long shot, which tells me that Alabama was the second best team in college football this year, because you took the best team in college football by 20 points into overtime. Plus, you have a quarterback who's developing.
Yeah.
You got a young quarterback, 6'2", 225, who can clearly run incredibly well, but he also has grown into a much more proficient passer. Plus, you beat the team that had won 28 straight games, 29-30 in Georgia. Oh, like, you beat Georgia in a must have it game in the SEC championship game to go back to the college football playoffs, where you took the best team in the land into overtime, and now you're stepping away. I won't question Saban, because to me, Saban is the greatest coach of the modern generation. I will not question Saban. Saban stands in a class by himself.
Yes, he does.
I will simply say, I don't think it was the right
thing. Yeah, I don't think it was neither, and I'm surprised, because when you watch coaches that you may think like, oh, yeah, this might be his last year, either they losing, or you could kind of see them losing the love for the game. You could kind of see that stuff. Like, we seen none of that. Like, we still seen the passion from him. We still seen his teams out there well-coached, playing extremely good football. Like, we seen none of that. So I am surprised by this, because, number one, he was going to be in the mix next year, whether NIL money or not. The way he coaches, the players that he has over there already, and I'm sure they're going to get some more players as well that want to come over there and play for him. And they're going to be in the mix when you talk about the playoffs going to 12 teams. So this was surprising, because when you really think back to Saban's career, the only thing he chases is national championships. And he has let that be known. Like, none of this other little stuff matters but winning and national championships. And he was going to be in the mix for that next year. It's not like he had a team like, we ain't even got a shot to even get back to none of this, or we got to rebuild. That's not the case. So I'm surprised by this, but kudos to him, man. Hey, from what I've seen, and it could be some older coaches and all that out there, but Nick Saban, the greatest coach ever in college football.
I mean, it's certainly unexpected, but I'm not surprised at all. The world is different in college football now. It is. And
I'm
we keep
surprised.
I did not expect to hear this news today. I did not expect to be on Speak talking about Nick Saban retiring. Certainly not. But, I mean, perhaps I'm just too close to college football now. It is a different world. It's not the same recruiting process. What Shady was talking about last block is real. You used to be able to walk in a room and say, I'm Nick Saban. I coach Alabama.
Look at all these.
You see all this? You see all this? You see these facilities? You see these boosters? You see these fans? We are the standard. Yes. We're the standard. There's a couple other places that are cool. We them boys.
We them boys.
And they still are, but there are a couple other places who can walk in there too and say it. And now with NIL and the way the recruiting is, it is just different. I'm not saying that Nick Saban couldn't keep up, because obviously, as you mentioned, he's still in the mix. We're talking about whether it was time to walk away or not. But what I love about legends walking away on their own terms is they get to write the story. What's the lasting memory you'll have of Nick Saban
losing in
the Rose Bowl, losing to you? Just made an argument. He's just lost to Michigan in overtime.
But he lost.
Okay, but you cannot always walk out with a national championship, and he knows that. And anyone who competes knows that. We talk about Super Bowls all the time. Why does Shady stop talking about Super Bowls like that? Everybody can't just go to the Super Bowl. Everybody can't just win the Super Bowl. Why do we hold Nick Saban in the regard that we do? Because he wins them things. When you are a legend, you walk away on your own terms. You write your own story. If you stay too long, what happens?
Become the villain.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain. So walk away on your own terms. He has such an incredible, fascinating, interesting, influential career. If it goes bad,
it's never gone bad.
But it's never gone bad.
And it's not.
Even if it doesn't, is he going to do this forever?
No.
Doesn't he deserve to, like, go chill on a beach for a week? Do you understand? I know you don't understand. I should not be asking that. Do you understand? I know you understand. I know all of you understand. Recruiting is insane. It is insane. You watch these national recruiting days, with the hats we don't have enough time to break it down. Just whatever you thought recruiting was in college sports, not just college football, in college sports, whatever you thought it was before, it ain't that no more. It is a different world. And I think it's great. I think it's great. I think it offers parity. It offers opportunities for athletes to be able to have money in their pocket, to have financial education before they get to the pros, or if they never make it to the pros, to take advantage of the talent that they have in college. It influences women athletes. It's influential for other athletes that aren't playing football. It's great for college sports, but it has changed the world. It is an exhausting 24/7 job on top of whatever being a college football coach was before. So I think it's brilliant to be able to walk out and say, this is how I'm leaving my career, which is in the college football playoffs, going into overtime against the team that went on to win the national championship. That feels good to me.
Yeah, I think it's the right time for him, though. I think that at his age, at 72, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's accomplished a lot of different things, man, a lot of things. Different teams, LSU championship, brings six to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
But what Joy was talking about is that recruiting is real, right? And I think when you go to these homes of these young kids, you know, a lot of them, these young black kids that don't come from much, we don't want to hear this all about these championships. Now with NIL in there, where the money at, right? Where is the money? Before you had to get money to go to NFL. I only get money playing ball if I'm in the league. Nah, now it's college. So all that, I don't even care about that. Where's the paper at? That's why Alabama this year, they look different. They did good this year, right? Went to the great playoffs. They almost beat Michigan. Did they look like the old Alabama to you? Huh? They look like the old Alabama to you?
Not the one you're referencing, though.
The one that Bryce Young just came from, the wide receivers, and Jamison Williams, them dudes.
But
I'm just saying, you're a college guy for sure.
Of course. No, they didn't look like that. They were not the juggernaut.
And guess what?
But they didn't go there last year there, Bryce Young.
But hold on. I mean, a lot of injuries and et cetera. But guess what? That's what's going to happen. Now it's going to get even bigger. It just started. NIL just started. So if my team in 2 years of the NIL looks a little different, we're still going to be in 5 years, right? You look at them Georgia boys, them Bulldogs.
They beat
us. That's cool. I mean, anybody can be beat. I keep saying that. Anybody can be beat, right? But if they play 10 times, you ain't going to be saying
it. But what Shea's saying is they're not going away. That wasn't a fluke.
Of course.
Yeah.
But for me, the biggest thing was the student has surpassed the teacher. Kirby Smart is at Georgia. They are considerably better year after year than Bama. The thing about this for me, and I said this in the middle of the season, to me, this was Nick Saban's most impressive coaching feat of his career. Alabama was not supposed to be that good this year. Texas went into Alabama and beat Alabama down. The following week, Jalen Milroe was put on the bench. Alabama did not have a quarterback after producing Tua and Jalen Hurts and Mac Jones. Then Jalen Milroe finishes the year winning 10, 11 straight games, sixth in the Heisman voting. You take Michigan into overtime. To me, Nick Saban was just scratching the surface of how, like, this was his most impressive coaching feat. Mm-hmm. I'm watching this year like, this Alabama team about to have 3 or 4 losses. And he ended up beating Georgia in the SEC championship game to go back. That's why this is so hard for me to digest, because Saban was still coaching as great as he has ever coached. Jalen Milroe was not a great quarterback to start the season. Yeah. He was not Bryce Young, number one overall pick. He was not Mac Jones, first round pick. He was not Jalen Hurts, future $180 million quarterback. He was a quarterback who was going to get benched. Yeah. A quarterback who Bill O'Brien, as Jalen Milroe notably said, you can't play the position. Mm. His own offensive coordinator the year before told him he couldn't play the position, and he ends up winning 11 straight. To me, what Saban did this year is just as impressive as what he's ever done, and he produced 49 first-round picks. He had 16 consecutive top 10 finishes. It just hurts me because he's still so good.
But what else does he got to do? What else does he got to do? That man can't walk away on his own terms. He don't deserve to have a retirement.
No, he does.
He can't go golf or whatever he likes to do. He probably don't even know what he likes to do. He's so busy. You know what I mean? Go write a book. You know what I mean? Go fishing. He could chill. Like, I hear you. And you're probably right. He probably never would fall off that much. But I just feel very strongly about legends. And this is why we talk about Belichick a lot. And we might talk about Belichick this offseason. It hurts me to change memories of greats because you learn too much or you hang on too long. Walk away on your own terms. You owe this game nothing.
Saban said it ain't going to be me, huh, George?
Yeah, it ain't going to be me. I see it for other people, and God, I don't want that for me.
When we return, a man 46 days older than Nick Saban, Pete Carroll, he's out today, but it was not nearly as peaceful as Nick Saban's appears to be. Pete Carroll wanted to keep coaching. Seahawks said, you're gone. America, this is breaking news. Two coaching icons gone on the same day from coaching their sport. I cannot believe it. You got to come back to hear us discuss it next on Scoop.
No more shocking news in the world of sports than Nick Saban, one of the greatest coaches in any sport, literally, not football, not college football, retiring. But what does this do, Joy, for the landscape of college football? You have two nephews, one of which plays in the SEC, if I'm not mistaken, may or may not have been recruited by Nick Saban. So you definitely know and are very well integrated with the landscape of college football. How does this shake up the landscape? 16 consecutive years, Nick Saban and Alabama have finished in the top 10 of the AP poll's final rating. I don't think y'all heard me.
Six.
16 consecutive years. So one of the powerhouses, the juggernauts of college football, is now potentially gone in Alabama. How's this shake up the landscape?
Yeah, you're right. Hi, Mason. Hi, Isaiah. Two nephews in college football, one at LSU. This is groundbreaking. Who's going to coach Alabama? Mm. Every year, we have to account for Alabama.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, we're talking all about all these other schools that have kind of broken into Alabama's recruiting pool and you know, tapped at the dominance that Nick Saban has had in that space. Are any of them entering the transfer portal? We're just getting the news today. So we are absorbing and obviously celebrating, giving flowers to Nick Saban and talking about his greatness and his legacy. But if we were going to very quickly roll it forward, there are going to be a lot of questions about where college football lands. All those things are going to come into play. Who's going to coach? Who's going to succeed? One of the greatest, if not the greatest, modern coach in college football history. Who's taking that spot? You guys, you're not just replacing anybody. That's important. What's going on with the roster next year? Because if Saban's not there, and you mentioned getting recruited by Saban, are you going to stay at Alabama and play for Saban? Does this mean everybody's now poaching Alabama players? There's a lot of things that can snowball from this, and we're going to find out through the week what it is. But it's really, really impactful news.
Yeah, man, I'm still in shock. I'm still in shock, man. We was just at the game. And like I say, it didn't look like my man. I know he's 72, but it didn't look like he was slowing down none, right? And we are talking about the face of college football. Whether we like it or not, I truly feel like Alabama and Nick Saban, with what he has created over there, all the success he's had. You said 16 straight years in the top 10. That is the face of college football. So now that he's gone, who's going to be the new face of college football? That's the opportunity that's out there now, is who is going to be the face. What program? Is it Prime? Is it Georgia? Is it Texas? What program? Because for the last 20 years or however many years he's been in Alabama, they have been the face of college football. Shady said it right, man. It was Bama and whoever else was there, but Bama's going to be there. And without him there, who's going to take over? Is this program going to be the same? It's all those questions out there. We just talked about NIL and transfer portals. You think we've been talking about this for 45 minutes now. The show only an hour, right? So them people out there is going to, like, the players, they're like, are they transferring? What's this team going to look like? This is big for college football and big for Alabama. We'll see.
Is this a good job? On the other side of the commercial break, Shady, I want that question answered. There's no job in sports that would have more pressure than replacing the greatest to ever do it in the modern era. But is it a good job? Too much pressure, too much stress. Shocking world of sports we're living in. Come back and watch it. You're watching history. All right, back with the breaking news. Nick Saban calling it a career at Alabama. James, let me start with you. Granted, you might still be in shock.
I am.
Are you still in shock or have you settled?
I am, man. This is crazy. I'm looking at my phone right now, and all my people text me, Nick, like, he our family. Nick Saban gone. I'm like, I know. It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Ultimately, you think it was the right time, wrong time?
I think it was the wrong time. You just touched on it, right? You played Michigan, took them to overtime. Michigan just beat the brakes off of Washington, won a national championship. Then you're coming back next year, it goes to 12 teams. You're going to be in there. All we talk about every day is you just want to punch a ticket, right, to get up in there in the playoffs and be able to make some noise. We know that if he was still in the building, they were going to be one of the 12 best teams and have a chance to punch their ticket into the playoffs and compete for a national championship. And that's all he wants to do every year, is compete for a national championship. So for you to walk away now, knowing that you got a lot of good young players, you just beat Georgia, snap their streak, right? You go into overtime with Michigan, who won a national championship. Now you're coming back, and you're going to be in the playoffs again with a chance to do the same thing. I mean, I don't know what it is, but I think it was the wrong time for him to walk away. I thought he would have plenty more opportunities to win a national championship.
Right time, wrong time, Shady, all things being said.
Yeah, I think it's the right time. He's 72 years old. I think the NIL has changed the game
forever. It's only gonna get worse, I think, for a lot of the top teams. You look at Clemson. At one point in time, they were Alabama, right, for a quick
couple
second.
Years.
And then what happened? So is this a matter of time? I think Georgia is going to have the torch for a while, and then they'll pass along. But NIL is hard to really gauge because them kids want money. They don't care about all that legacy stuff and all that. They want that paper.
They want that,
you know,
bread.
But I'm happy for Nick Saban. He's a great career man because a lot of kids reached their goals and accomplishments, so I'm happy for him.
Changed a lot of lives.
Yeah, I agree with Shady in a lot of ways because it is a different world now. It used to sound real good to go to Alabama. It sounds really good to go to Georgia. Sounds really good to go to LSU. Mm-hmm. Sounds really good to go to Michigan and Ohio State. Like, there's a lot of schools that you can go to with the same level of, not prestige, but I'm gonna get an opportunity to go to the NFL. I'm gonna have an opportunity to play for a national championship game. I'm gonna get eyeballs.
Does that always exist?
Like, not at the level that Alabama did. Not at the level that Alabama did. Yes, I understand. I listed a lot of schools where a lot of great players went. But Alabama is Bama. It's different. That has taken a step back. And that's not to say that Nick Saban is not leaving at the top, because he is. But it is a different world now. And he is leaving, going to overtime against the team that won in the national championship game. You can't always leave at the absolute top. If he had just won a national championship, would we all be so...
Let him go.
All right, well, we can't do that.
Cannot believe it. Well, James, we saw Nick Saban's last game in person. I can
probably
say that. I can forever say.
Hey, keep that ticket.
You are right. When we return, our final thoughts on Nick Saban walking away and his final time at Alabama. Man. Coaches weighing in. Deion Sanders said, wow, college football just lost a GOAT to retirement. I knew it would happen one day soon, but not this soon. The game has changed so much that it chased the GOAT away. College football, let's hold up our mirrors and say honestly what you see. Oh, interesting.
Wow.
Oh, y'all didn't prep me for
That's
this.
That's a little more takey.
I thought this was just a goodbye.
Yeah.
That's a college football indictment message. Hey, throw that back up there, please. He said the game has changed so much, Shady, that it chased the GOAT away.
Chased him away.
When I just said that, y'all see how y'all acting?
No.
I just said that to y'all. Now when he said, y'all getting like that.
He said it in a different way. He did. He said it in a different way.
Yo, well, that's our topic for tomorrow. Crazy.